We regret to inform you that the audio quality in this episode is not very good. However, we liked the content of the episode and decided to move along with it. We will be investing in better recording equipment before the next episode. We hope you enjoy episode 3 of the Temporary Uncles podcast. These two boys are very funny.
All around me are familiar faces, worn out places, worn out faces. Running early for the daily races, going nowhere, their tears are filling up their glasses, no expression. Hide my head among the drama sorrow. No tomorrow. And I find it kind of funny. I find it kind of sad. The dreams in which I'm dying are the best I've ever had. I find it hard to tell you. I find it hard to think. When people run in circles, it's a very, very
Mad podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Temporary Uncles podcast.
Good evening.
I'm your host, Beatle number one.
I'm also your host, Beatle number two.
We went from Bob Dylan to the Beatles in like one beat.
Did you know that Bob Dylan introduced the Beatles to pot?
That's a very good fun fact.
Yeah, it's because in I Wanna Hold Your Hand, they thought the lyric went, you know, and you're feeling that your love, I get high. And so
your Bob Dylan impression is much more illegible than mine.
Yeah, that's
illegible is not the right word. Ununderstandable.
It is exactly that. It is incomprehensible in the face of it.
Whereas you can actually hear what I'm saying when I do mine.
The entire shtick revolves around the fact that you don't know what he is saying.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Temporary Uncles podcast. We are your temporary uncles for this evening or this morning, whenever you're listening to it. I'm Nick.
And I'm perfect on the first try.
Yeah.
You can call me Ben if you'd like.
Okay, perfect.
You can call me whatever you'd like.
So, the Beatles.
Stud.
The Beatles. It's always interesting when you hear a song
yes.
that you didn't know the Beatles wrote, and then you find out that the Beatles wrote it. It was me. I was listening to the White Album. No, I was listening to Abbey Road.
Yes.
And I heard two songs on that album that I had no idea that the Beatles had wrote, which was Octopus's Garden. Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah, well, the thing is with Octopus's Garden is that I'd heard it reworked a couple of different times as your nursery exactly. rhymes, but same. Also because Ringo sings it, you don't immediately go, yes, in an octopus's garden, in the shade.
It just sounds like the guy who sang Yellow Submarine.
Is it, yeah.
In the town when I was born, lived a man with a same very big nose.
And his name was Ben Ringo Weinstein. Starr.
I can't help it. I've got this Judaism inside of me, and I can't get it out.
I heard Octopus's Garden for the first time in a Sabrina movie.
Like the Teenage Witch.
The Teenage Witch, the one played by Melissa Joan Hart, yeah.
I like her, she's good.
She's very pretty.
Well, she was very pretty in 1994.
Well.
What'd she look like now?
You go off on a tangent.
She looks like me.
You go off on a tangent, and I'll look up pictures of Melissa Joan Hart.
Melissa Joan Hart. She never farts because she's a girl. I was hoping to come around and eventually land upon fart in a surprising way.
Yeah.
But I couldn't. I'm just not good enough, Nick.
Okay, you won't be surprised to hear that she looks exactly the same as she looked like in the 90s.
She aged incredibly well, like cheese.
Yeah, she looks barely different.
Yeah?
She basically looks like maybe a few years older rather than like, say, 20, since, you know, Sabrina was from 1996 to 2003. So, yeah.
You know her age wasn't kind to?
She's 41 and she looks like she's a teenager. So.
A certain magical princess.
Maybe mid-20s.
A certain magical princess who age was not kind to, who came back, who flew through space after being shot with a fucking missile.
She did not fly through space.
She used the Force!
She used the Force. And
she used her magic power.
There's no gravity in space, so she wasn't flying.
She used her Deus Ex Fortuna.
She wasn't flying, though. She was floating already because she was in space, and so she just used the force to pull herself to the room.
I would prefer Slayer to fly in the movie.
Funny thing is, that wasn't George Lucas's decision. It was. If anything, it was Rian Johnson's, and I would assume he sounds...
Rian Johnson?
Rian Johnson. Oh, okay. I would assume that he sounds like this.
I want Jar Jar to be in the movie.
Oh, that one.
I want that one.
I like it.
I want Princess Leia to suddenly wake up and tell the mutinous Poe to fuck off.
The mutinous Poe.
Yes.
I would have that as a badge. I'd wear that. I'm the mutinous Poe.
Yeah, that should be your band name.
Edgar Mutinous Poe.
No, just Mutinous Poe.
I once knew a lady who was in a band called Admiral Akbar's Dishonorable Discharge.
Okay. Now he's dead.
Yeah.
Off screen.
Yeah, they don't talk about it.
That was like... That's probably my... that's probably my least favourite part about The Last Jedi. I like the movie, but I just don't like the fact that they killed off Admiral Akbar. That
Squidman's not around?
Yeah.
Why not Akbar? Because it's expensive. So yes. We had to get Zwedbar.
Well, they used practical effects for Akbar, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, they actually made a real mask and put it on a real person. The thing is, just so we can stop talking about Star Wars.
Well, I'm fine with talking about Star Wars now because we made sure to stop talking about Star Wars.
We made sure to not talk about it last time.
In the second episode. That way we can now talk about Star Wars freely in any other episode. We wanted to make sure that when people listen to the second episode, they're going, oh, these guys are just Star Wars nuts. But we're not
wrong.
Yeah.
I think they made the wrong choices for who to kill off. They sort of went, look, we're going to create suspension, we're going to create tension, we're going to kill beloved characters, it's going to get people's blood boiling, it's going to go, look, we're not just writing off the success of the ones that have come before, we're getting rid of the old ones, we're bringing in the new ones that you don't know shit about, and they made the wrong choice. They killed the actors
still alive. So I think the reason why, the killing of Luke, the thing is they killed off the character who can come back.
Yeah, well, you come back in an indirect sense. Yeah, you
but
can
still
bring him back as Na'vi.
Like, I think it's fine with killing off Luke at the fact that he can technically come back, whereas you probably wouldn't be able to do that if you killed off Leia.
Well, Leia's, you know, she is force sensitive, so you can still do that. But the thing is, it's not just that they went, oh, look, Harrison and Mark are still alive. It's the fact that
I think they
Carrie Fisher's still in the movie, and she can't
be
come
in
back.
The next one. So. I'm sure they'll do a time jump in between 8 and 9.
Because their creepy digital imaging of past actors is not good enough to put Princess Leia in the rest of the film.
Yeah.
We saw Grand Moff Tarkin for 30 seconds in number 7, and that was gross.
Well, at least it still looked like Tarkin.
And we saw youthful Leia, and that was
that one was
uncanny.
Good. I don't think that one was uncanny. I think that one was done well.
It was not good enough for people to look at and go, Yes,
and
flawless.
Well, I think we as a society don't really have that much suspension of disbelief
anymore. We as wankers.
We don't really have suspension of disbelief anymore. So when we see young Leia on the screen, we know it's not real because young Leia doesn't exist anymore.
No,
that's why people immediately go to look at that as fake.
Yeah, but cinema is based on suspension of disbelief. Fiction is based on suspension of disbelief.
But the general audience doesn't have suspension of disbelief anymore.
Well, if they didn't, then no one would go and see anything.
People love to bring out plot holes and shit
nowadays. Oh, of course.
Because they don't have suspension of disbelief anymore. Which is why weird movies don't sell as much, and why movies are just becoming more and more generic.
Oh, no. I would say that in part you have a point. Things becoming more generic is ultimately a business decision, and you see it in music.
It's the reason why Justice League was so disappointing, and I'm really like, if you go back and watch my like Justice League review, like
it's
I'm
my
very
I watch it every time.
I'm very forgiving of that movie when I did that review. I'm not as forgiving of it now. Okay, it's that just as time went on. I became less forgiving of what they did to Justice League, and I want my Snyder cut.
You have found cynicism in your old age?
Yes.
Okay, the thing is, with genericism being more popular amongst both music and film is a business venture, because if you have a market and you only have one choice, and your choice is to go and see whatever is on, then you can't discriminate with your dollar. You can't go, you know what, I do want to see this indie weird thing, and I'm not going to go and see the Emoji Movie. If they go, okay, everything is the Emoji Movie, then you have no choice, and then everyone makes lots of money.
Yeah.
However, if everything is varied, then if you take a gamble and go, hey, this Frank Zappa guy seems pretty cool, I'm going to take a chance on him, and then no one gives him money, then you've lost a huge investment.
Yeah.
If you just go, everything is Barbara Ann, deal with it.
Well, this is exactly what I was saying, is that the general public is the reason why most media is generic, is because they keep buying the generic shit.
Yes, but I think in this case, the suspension of disbelief is a straw man, because fiction as a whole would cease to be valuable if people could not suspend disbelief. I think that, especially in case with science fiction, you can do things, you can create effects and have them be convincing for a long time.
Well, it's just that when I say suspension of disbelief, of course, I don't mean, oh, no, they can't fly in space. I mean shit like, oh,
your name's Karen, not where.
I mean shit like, oh, how can Luke project himself from across the galaxy? People just need to accept the fact that Luke can do that. This is 30 years after the original trilogy. Luke's gained more force powers than any other Jedi because he's currently the oldest Jedi there, and he studied the sacred text and all that shit. Mm. So why wouldn't the current most powerful Jedi in the universe, or at least just the galaxy, be able to project himself from afar, as also the fact that he's alive?
Yes.
When Jedi are dead, they can still project themselves from across the galaxy as Force ghosts. Yes. When they're dead, people don't like...
Well, describing that as projection may or may not be accurate.
People don't question Force ghosts as a way of coming back to life, yet they question an image being projected from across the galaxy by the mind.
Mm.
Well, from a living, powerful Jedi.
Well, the thing is, when you're dealing with something like the Force, an undefined fictional power, you have to be really selective in your criticism, because if you are in charge of writing it, you can just decide that, oh, if you're Force sensitive, you can do X, Y, and Z. They can make it up because it's not real, and they can decide what the rules of the Force
are. Funny thing about that Force projection thing that I was just talking about is that Rian Johnson didn't even make it up for this movie.
No, I wouldn't think
it that. It wasn't made up for this. It's actually been done in a few fictional stories that were canonical before Star Wars was retconned for The Force Awakens.
Mm, mm.
I need to get closer to the mic.
What can I tell you about touching the microphone? We've already apologized for the poor audio. I don't need you to touch Nicholas. I don't need you to fuck it up any further. You've been great. You disgust me.
Good.
Did you know that my grandfather and his two brothers are referred to affectionately as useless, hopeless, and disgusting?
Speaking of family members.
Yes.
There's a movie trailer come out for a movie called Hereditary.
Oh, that's very good.
Ha ha ha. I purposefully told Ben not to tell me what he thought of the trailer until now.
Right. Like many horror films, I looked at it and thought, this is going to be a bad time. But I went, oh, Toni Collette, I like her.
Mm.
Good girl. Good grades.
How are you?
I was there for her when she grew up. She had a hamster called Shrek.
You were there. But your grandmother wouldn't let you feed her.
No, she was a... She
Why
was
are
a
we going British? This is an American
She film. Was a traditional woman and she wouldn't have it.
Shall not touch that hamster, young man.
So watching it, and I'm immediately just thinking, I don't want to see this because it looks scary. It was a confusing thing because it started off with this dollhouse and the idea that there was going to be some... meta to it where they're actually stuck within a dollhouse.
Oh, okay.
They're not actually in the world, and there's someone standing there and like fiddling with the dollhouse.
Yeah.
So I wasn't entirely sure of what to make of it. However, it looks like it would be a terrible time to watch. Like,
but it also looks like a really well-made movie.
Oh, yeah. I think this is one of the few where it's a horror film that looks thoroughly and properly constructed.
Yeah.
However, I've found that going and watching films that are scary,
uncomfortable.
I just don't enjoy it. I sit there and I go, I respect what you did. Well done. Thank you. Don't show it to me again.
Mm. Well, The Witch, which is a movie produced by the people who produced Hereditary, The Witch is also a very good horror movie, and I've given you a copy of that, so you need to
produced
watch
by this. The producers?
Yes, produced by the producers of the producers.
Does it have Springtime for Hitler? Is that in there?
Yeah, yeah.
What if you watched a serious Toni Collette film and then Mel Brooks turned up?
That would be amazing.
Oh! It's too scary!
Your Mel Brooks is still too raspy. No! You sound like you're doing a Robbie Rotten impression!
And here with my meme friend.
Meme friend?
I want to say thank you to my meme friend.
I'll show you how to be villains.
Have you ever had a really... I don't know how this goes.
Have you ever tried a disguise?
Yeah. I'm really unhappy with the way that I look, so I try to cover it up.
You put a Groucho nose over your real nose.
It doesn't look that big, that much bigger. It's a similar size.
I don't know why we keep going back to our Beatles impressions. You know what's funny is that
it's a safety net.
There was a guy in
If you feel scared, you'd be John Lennon.
There was a guy in the Hereditary trailer who was in the movie Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle.
Okay, which guy?
The guy who has his face
is
banged
into the
desk.
Who breaks his own nose?
I think it broke his mouth. He looked like he was bleeding from
the teen
mouth.
Who does an Owen Wilson impression.
Wow.
Wow.
The one who... I think that was him with all the ants on him while he was lying in bed as well in the trailer. It's not often where a trailer is scary. Movies where, like, you know what you're in for when you watch the trailer, and the trailer's supposed to be quite safe, if anything. A safe introduction to the tone of the movie.
So you can actually show it places?
But yeah, the Hereditary trailer is actually scary on its own as well. I wouldn't say scary, but it is. It has a very unsettling and creepy tone, and it definitely thinks that if a movie which the trailer is spooky and unsettling, then you know the movie is going to be good.
Well, I would say that that comedy and horror are really at an antithesis of each other, not just in the way that they're themed, but the way that the trailers work. Because if you have a comedy film, you can put all of the best jokes in the trailer, even if there are only 5 jokes in the film, and you show all of them.
Well, that's like most Hollywood comedy movies are like
then
that.
Then you rope people in because they go, fun.
Friendly.
If you have a horror film, then you don't want to show the scares because they'll know them and they'll go, hey, I recognize that log cabin.
They'll show creepy images.
Yeah.
Like someone on fire or someone having someone cutting a pigeon's head off.
They'll show parts of the lead up, but they can't show the actual scare because otherwise you've seen it and you won't be scared.
They could show, I think,
because the scare is entirely hinging upon surprise.
I think horror movie trailers are allowed to show a maximum of 1 jump scare.
And it's going
to
be a minor scare.
Yeah.
You can't show you could show the big one, but you'd ruin it.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, so many bad horror movies are the ones with the false scares throughout the movie. Good horror movies are, like, even if they use jump scares, the jump scares are to be used things that you're supposed to be scared of, I think.
Yeah, like, for example, a film that we've talked about before, like Killing of a Sacred Deer, where the plot itself...
Were there any jump scares in that?
I think...
You're a jumpy person, so like you jump during the Revenant. So
does the gun going off count?
That's not the gun going off does not count as a jump scare.
Because they mixed that so much louder than any movie gun.
Because it's really loud in a really quiet scene.
Yeah, well the thing is in a lot of films where they have guns it's bang, 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 and then you put a silencer on it and goes.
Yeah.
But in real life, guns are super noisy.
You haven't seen Dunkirk in the theater. So,
that's
a loud movie.
But there's also, you know, cinematic audio is also a lot louder.
Well, there's a movie called Heat, Michael Mann's movie Heat. Mm-hmm. And that movie, they used the actual gun sound effects that they recorded on set.
Oh, yeah. Well,
they used the actual blanks and all that. So they didn't do Foley or anything. They used the actual blank that came from the actual guns because it sounded real.
Yeah, well, that doesn't always dictate volume. Like, you can have gun sounds that sound realistic, but you can still mix them down so you don't blow the audience's ears out. But in Killing of a Sacred Deer, it's you know, I'm going to kill this lobster.
Don't tell them what the plot is.
I didn't say, I'm going to kill this lobster. And then he spins around and goes, bang!
Yeah.
And it's so noisy.
Do that louder just to give the audience a bursted eardrum. But you just like whisper yelled into the microphone. Yeah. You gotta do all of this. That's the sound.
That's gonna sound terrible.
That's gonna sound amazing.
That's gonna make me moist.
Hurt my throat.
Yeah, I would suggest that you don't do that or you'll lose it. And then I won't get to listen to your sultry tones, Nicholas.
Yes. Well, anyway, as I was talking about with the guy in that, I was trying to use that as a segue to go into Jumanji, but then I went into a completely different tangent.
Haven't we already talked about Jumanji?
Well, I wanted to talk about something really funny, and this kind of goes into the suspension of disbelief, is that whenever you see an actor that you recognize from something, that they feel so out of place and they take you out of the movie.
Like Jane the Doc Ronson?
Well, no, not that, because in Jumanji, there's a scene where they're trying to get, like, food or so, or there's a food vendor, right? Yeah. And this vendor is played by a guy from the killer from Too Many Cooks, the funny Adult Swim short film.
I don't know if enough people are familiar with Too Many Cooks for that to be a problem.
If you haven't seen Too Many Cooks, pause this podcast. Go watch Too Many Cooks on the Adult Swim YouTube page right now. It is phenomenal. It's a great short film. I won't even give you any context as to what it is. All right? Pause it now.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Excellent. It's got that sort of...
It's going to be really awkward to people who didn't pause it, who have already seen Too Many Cooks.
Oh, they'll just be like, okay, great, excellent.
Yeah.
It's got that sort of surrealism like Our House by Game Grumps.
Yeah. Or literally any Alan Resnick work, any work by Alan Resnick.
It's a different sort of weird to Alan Resnick.
And kind of what we're trying to do with our show, Untitled Science Show. And those of you listening who haven't seen Untitled Science Show, go watch that right now as well.
Resnick is kind of lo-fi surrealism where it looks like it was done on a shoestring budget. But the thing is, Too Many Cooks looks like it's going to be a show. And then that's how it pulls you in as you go... Yeah. Oh, I wonder what this Too Many Cooks is. And then it just goes like 12 minutes.
Forever. Yeah, the guy with the machete who kills all the characters in Too Many Cooks, he was the food vendor in Jumanji. So as soon as he showed up on screen, I'm like, oh my God, it's the guy from Too Many Cooks. And I burst out laughing in the middle of this scene. No one else was laughing at it. My brother was going, all right, what are you laughing at? And I said, it's the guy from Too Many Cooks. And then he started laughing as well. And no one else in the theater obviously knew who we were talking about.
And then you ruined the film for all of the patrons.
Well, no, because we were trying to keep it quiet enough that people would, you know, not be annoyed at us. And it's a funny movie, so people can laugh at literally anything.
Yeah, they could.
You could watch a comedy, right? You watch a movie like The Last Jedi, even, one that's not a comedy. People will laugh at bits that they think are funny that aren't, you know?
This is
why watching a Marvel movie in theaters, people automatically have the stigma that they're funny, right? So in a serious scene like in Civil War, right, when gets shot down and falls from the sky, shoots, and he goes flying off into the distance, right? Those who've seen the movie know who I'm talking about.
Are you referring to Captain America and all of those?
Well, I'm not going to say which characters I'm talking about because I'm just spoilers for a two-year-old movie. But, you know, there's a scene where a character shoots another character and that character goes flying off in the distance, right? But it's not supposed to be funny. It's supposed to be dramatic because the character that was just shot off in the distance shot the character who, like, we think is dead.
Yeah. And so it's meant to generate pathos.
Well, to a degree.
It's meant to hit you in the feelings.
To the degree that a Marvel movie can deliver pathos, you know.
One must have empathy for his fellow man. If you do not feel for your neighbor, then thou shalt be damned. If you point that line at me again, Nicholas, I want to tell you that for the last 20 minutes, he has been shining this light, this little LED thing that he's got in his pocket, and I've been thinking, maybe he's using it for a purpose. Maybe he's saying, hey, I want to talk now. Maybe he's saying, hey, move on. Nah. But actually, he's just doing it to be a dick.
I'm doing it. Because I'm a fiddler. I'm the kind of person who can't keep my hands to myself.
I've also been, like...
Well, when I say that, I mean as in I have to have, like, something in my hands,
yes.
You know?
You're a diddler, a fiddler.
I'm a diddler, a fiddler, and a riddler on the roof.
I'm a diddler.
Riddle me this, Batman!
I'm a fiddler.
That was like...
I'm a riddler.
Skip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-a-dip-
So
soy bites, give me omega 3.
All right.
High folate with vitamin D, folate or extra dollar.
All right. Well, speaking of that guy from Too Many Cooks.
Tell me about
so going from, you know, some kind of silly web video to being in it, albeit a bit character in a in a big Hollywood blockbuster.
Yeah.
Very interesting when stuff like that happens, and when like a character who's known for an actor who's known for playing a certain kind of character breaks the mold and becomes like a serious actor. You know, someone like say Zac Efron becoming Ted Bundy in an upcoming movie. What do you think?
Yeah. I'm in support of that. I think that Zac Efron is actually. Has the potential to be very good.
I think he'll do. I think he'll do great. He was very funny as Chris R in the Disaster Artist.
I think everyone in the Disaster Artist was at least a little humorous. There was no one in there that made me think you should not be in this film because the film, although it had to contain some just A plus acting, it was also all about just being poor quality. Yeah.
The funny thing about Zac Efron is, like, I'm all for the idea of Zac Efron becoming a serious actor.
Yeah, if he's good.
Which is funny because, like, me from, like, 10 years ago would have hated the idea because I hated Zac Efron because I hated High School Musical.
Well, I would have hated to see Zac Efron in anything because he was just, like, Wildcats. That
exactly.
He was this sort of, you know, loud, you know, bowl haircut, Justin Bieber looking motherfucker.
What's funny is that his haircut is actually inspired by the character Light from Death Note.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
In High School Musical?
Yeah, no, well, just his haircut at the time, you know, because he had the same haircut and everything.
Oh, I thought they gave that to him.
No, that was like basically the Zac Efron haircut. But I always love seeing actors go from like being a teen heartthrob being something completely different.
It's interesting.
It's like Ryan Reynolds when he did Drive. No, Ryan Gosling. Those two.
Really good. That's me levels of misinterpretation.
No. Okay. Ryan Reynolds and Ryan Gosling, their names that everyone gets confused, not just you or me.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
Anyway, technically it happened with both of them because I'm pretty sure both of them were like heartthrobs. I don't know if Ryan Reynolds was a teen heartthrob, but I know Ryan Gosling
sexy.
Was. Ryan, well, they're both like big, you know, romantic comedy guys. They've been for a lot of romantic comedies, and then suddenly,
not necessarily
big violent movie
actors,
happened.
Yeah.
You know, Drive and Deadpool, respectively.
Mm.
You know, big violent movie happened, and now Ryan Gosling is a serious actor who does a lot of like action movies and stuff, good, and really good movies too as well. Movies like Blade Runner 2049, which if you haven't seen, it's very good. My favorite movie from last year.
I have to say that Nier the Hitman's Bodyguard.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Not as terrible as you would expect.
Well, it looked
but
pretty
still
funny.
Not good.
It looked pretty funny.
Yeah, like I think it's pretty funny. I like the play between him and Samuel motherfucking Jackson.
That's Reynolds, not Gosling.
That is correct.
Yep.
Talking about that, Ryan.
Yeah.
And
Ryan McGee from Super Mega?
That's it. It's Ryan McGee.
Ryan McGoogle.
I think he played the part well, and he appears with a proper actor, Samuel L. Jackson. And so I think that helps legitimize him, even though he's been a serious actor. But
the thing is, Samuel L. Jackson pretty much plays the same character in every movie, though.
Yeah.
Except for Django Unchained.
Yeah. Not he can't, but it's because they ask him to. They go, we need a...
Well, because of Pulp Fiction.
We need a really gruff dude to come in and just rough people up and shoot guys and swear a lot.
And also to be black.
And,
they
and
specifically
be...
cast him because he's black and he can be that stereotype.
Mm. He was a little different in Kingsman.
Yeah, Kingsman and Django
Unchained.
And the Silver
Villain?
Kingsman and Django Unchained are like his probably most different roles.
Mm.
Of course, he probably has a lot of other ones that we don't know about.
Do they cast him for his big black dingus?
Mm. Oh, The Hateful Eight was pretty different as well, I guess, because he wasn't badass motherfucker.
He had to play, he certainly had to sort of age.
He's getting
himself.
A lot more like older roles now. Mature roles because he's like 60 something.
A little more Danny Glover, a little more I'm too old for this shit.
Yeah.
Except he's not. He's extremely fit.
He can still do stunts and shit. So.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he's like 60 something. Let me check. I keep forgetting I can't lean back too far.
But in a lot of films, he's this bulletproof 6 foot fucking something man. But in Hateful Eight, he's
69. He's going to turn 70 this year. And he can still like punch men.
is that the defining trait of a youthful person?
That's the defining trait of a stuntman.
I feel spry! I feel good! I can punch men!
Yes. Okay, what?
You
what,
sounded really excited when I said that to you. You can punch me.
Oh, yes.
Do it. Punch the man.
So you went and saw a movie that was really good, like a few, when was it, Friday?
I was still at my grandparents, so it was Friday
because you saw it the day that I went and saw The Last Jedi for the second time.
Yeah, so, and a point that you brought up earlier was,
Do you want to mention what the movie is
we're building it.
We're building
the suspense.
We're building atmosphere. Yeah. There was a time where a man who was fat. So
he was fat and angry.
He fucking smelled.
He smelled like poo poo and cigar smoke.
He was brown and quiet.
He sounded like this.
he sounded
like this when he got out of bed. That's what most old people sound like when they move. They just sound like.
My neck.
My neck. My back. My pussy. And my neck.
Which former PM would you most like to just on your neck?
What?
Personally, I'd go for Benjamin Disraeli. He's asking for it.
Benjamin Disraeli.
No, that's
not... Israeli good. Hey, you guys want to hear a song?
No.
Shit.
Yeah.
You're welcome. I'll hopefully be better at playing that with two hands next week. Probably not.
But you should do it with both your hands?
Well, the other hand goes like this.
You should do it with your neck. Your back.
Yeah. We were talking about suspension of disbelief, which are you thinking
so
of?
So when you were talking about the times where you see an act that completely pulls you out of it, so when you're watching a film and you go, oh, it's the killer from Too Many Cooks.
Yeah.
This, watching this film, I felt the complete opposite. There was such a habitation of character that I didn't look at it and go, Gary Oldman.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Darkest Hour, which is a film about wartime Britain.
Winston Churchill.
And it focuses upon Winston Churchill. And watching it, I didn't think, oh, Gary Oldman said we will fight on the beach. Gary Oldman sucked on 37 cigars and touched a secretary's patoot.
And almost got lung cancer because of his portrayal, because he used real cigars.
You're not meant to inhale when you smoke cigars.
Mm.
He's an idiot.
Mm.
You're meant to hold it in your mouth really good. But the thing is, watching Gary Oldman play Winston Churchill made me feel unwell, because he just looks like such an unhealthy person.
Yeah.
And he makes all of the sounds that unhealthy people make. There's lots of...
That scene it was really awkward in that scene where he got completely naked in the war room. That was a really awkward scene in the movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We just got to see all these flabs.
It's disgusting.
It's just an awkward scene to be. I watched that movie with my mum and my brother. Just an awkward scene.
He's oily.
But that scene is what really determines him as an actor.
If you ran a piece of toast under one of those flaps, you would come out with buttered toast. So just watching him I could feel like my lungs had smoked imaginary cigarettes. I'm sitting there thinking, how did this guy live as long as he did?
Okay, Ben, we get it. You vape.
We get it. You're a vegan. Shut up.
Vegans don't vape, okay?
Do you want to tell us more about your cross-training, Nicholas?
It's against the vegan law to vape, because vape produces water, and water can feel pain.
Lettuce has got feelings too, you fucking monster.
Lettuce, well, like, you know, people are 75% water, so if you're drinking water, you're eating 75% people, so it's cannibalism. That wasn't real.
I don't care, I can't smell it.
I wish it was. I wish I could the JonTron just go.
booted right into the microphone.
Yeah, well, if I ever feel one building up, I'm going to go right into the microphone.
Please don't, because I'll have to use that. That's like you put your face up to that microphone, and it's going to have your shit particles embedded within it. You think the audio is bad now? Imagine when it's being clogged up by your colon. Put it in me. Ah!
The light is on my keychain, that's why you hear this.
It's really good. It doesn't distract anyone. It's not the way of shit.
Yes.
So, Nicholas, how does it feel to be a fraud?
A what?
You've stolen a format from the dirtiest house in Birmingham.
A fraud? Yeah. I'm not a German psychologist.
That's Freud, you fucking idiot.
Sorry, that's not too hard. I should have just done this. Oh! I got carried away and I actually slapped Ben in the face.
Hit me again.
Oof! Okay, you hit me now. Oof!
Very convincing. So, Nick, having been a criminal and immediately in breach of copyright, having stolen Soot House's format...
Ah, yes.
Soot by House's... looking at things and laughing at them...
Yeah, Soot House's, you know, it's not like... It's not enough to have just looked at images. Apparently, I've also, you know, ripped off their logo and their complete format of using text and bad audio, you know?
No one else in history has taken an image, a piece of media, looked at it, and recorded their reaction. No one has told us what they have thought and commented about a thing, a person, a place, an event, ever.
Okay.
That is completely original to a group of Englishmen, and you have infringed upon it!
Hey, Soot House, come on the show. I'm like, this is a genuine invitation. If you guys want to do like a Soot House Skype podcast or something, I'd be completely on board with doing that.
We could try, but I think our internet's not good enough to fucking Skype them.
I've Skyped people from across the globe before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Was it terrible?
I've got NBN, so we can always do it at my house.
Saying that you got the NBN does not instill any confidence in me that your internet will be good.
Your NBN might be shit, but my NBN's good. We can watch Netflix.
That's not... Like, we can watch Netflix!
Yeah, but we can watch it in high quality.
Ooh! Is that how you're going to seduce people? Is you burp directly into their face?
How do you do it?
Traditional way. With a maiden dance.
The traditional way. I fart in their face.
Traditional way. I offer them money and tell them not to tell anyone. Way,
I tell them to take off their shirt and I shit on their chest. You know, the traditional Australian mating call. You throw Vegemite on their shoe.
No, the traditional...
So you pour a tub of Vegemite on their head.
The traditional Australian mating call is, "Hey, cheeky babe! If I clamp my scrotum between these two magnets, do you think it'd hurt?"
Yes! So you've got these two magnets you're playing with now, and I've still got my jingly keys.
We're both terrible in that we're both reaching for bits and pieces
of
jangly objects.
You know what? This is what like entertainment is going to become in like 20 years.
Yeah.
When audiences are just stupid enough that like this is what entertainment's going to be, all right? In like 10 years, actually, yeah. You know.
But
look at the keys. Look at the jingly jingly keys. Look at the keys. Look at the keys, they're making a jingly noise.
You've done it for too long, we've lost them. Quickly, find something else.
Quick, the magnet on your scrotum.
Ah! People's attention spans are that short that you have to change to something different every 20 seconds. No, that song's too old, you can't play that.
I did that one last episode anyway.
Something more recent. Lisa, I have a ball. Perhaps you'd like to bounce it.
Steamed ham.
No, I said,
Aurora Borealis!
Why is
at this time of day, in this time of year, in this part of the country, localized entirely in your kitchen?
Yes.
May I see it?
No.
Ava! The house is on fire!
No, mother, it's just the northern lights. No, Jar Jar, it's just the northern lights.
I want to put the northern lights in the movie. I want to put the steamed hams in the movie.
What if I purchased fast food and disguised it as my own cooking?
Said George Lucas as he created the prequel trilogy.
Thing is, though, the prequel trilogy is entirely original, and there's nothing you can do to dispute that.
Well, that's the thing, is it's a fever dream, straight from George Lucas.
Straight from George Lucas's severed ballsack. Straight from George Lucas's magnetized scrotum.
Some say its scrotum has its own gravity field.
George Lucas has his own gravitational pull that he uses to bring in bad ideas.
he sucks in money and shit ideas.
Yeah. He sucks in money and talent and doesn't give out anything.
No, but you see, the reason why the original trilogy was so good was because people were around to tell George Lucas no. That's why. It's because originally, you know how in Return of the Jedi, how there is now a musical number in Jabba's palace. They have a song.
There was a musical number in the original.
Yeah, they have a song and dance in the recut. And that was originally going to be in the film. But
there is one in the original version of the film as well.
No, there isn't.
It's just not as good. It's like some weird... We see the person dancing and
there is some background music, the Max Rebo band is there entertaining Jabba, but in the recut, there is a bona fide song and dance musical number.
Yeah.
There is a full, like, Star Wars...
It's like 2 minutes.
Yeah, Star Wars Connect Let's Dance is in the film.
And I'm Han Solo.
Fucking Lobot gets down. He crux.
Mm.
And so, that was in the original script.
I know.
But someone said, that's stupid, George. We're not doing it.
Yeah, well, the person who directed the movie said, that's stupid, George. We're not doing it.
Yeah.
The movie wasn't entirely written by George as well. I think Irvin Kershner... Or,
no, he directed number 5.
Oh, he did 5?
Larry Kasdan was...
Larry Kasdan was...
He co-wrote with George.
On I this.
Think. Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, someone was there
no
saying,
one knows the
you're
difference
dumb.
Between Irvin Kershner and Larry Kasdan. No one knows who the fuck you're talking about.
No one cares about your nerd culture.
Or Lucas was the creator of Star Wars, and that's all anyone knows. Until episode 7, when it was George Abrams instead.
Is he actually George?
No, because his name is Jay.
Well, you could be George
Jacob,
with a J.
It's like Jeffrey Jacob John Jiminy Abrams.
Jacobson!
So
I think we've already done a Jane Jonah Jameson pun about...
I want pictures of Jar Jar! I'm not even going to bother doing the voice.
Oh, God.
I want pictures of... I want pictures of Spartacus!
Do you think that Lazy Town would be a different sort of show if Robbie Rotten was this deranged stalker and he's just got pictures of Spartacus all over his lair?
Do you think Lazy Town would have been better if, like...
If Stephanie aged in real time?
No. Do you think Lazy
Town...
She's,
like, in her mid-20s now, she's got a mortgage and she's going to the university, and she's like, Spartacus, well, I can't answer your call right now!
Replace the actress halfway through the show?
Yeah, because she got too old.
Yeah. Do you think that Lazy Town would have been better if Robbie Rotten had a twin brother and he was played by J.K. Simmons?
He was just an even shoutier, shorter, bald version of Robbie Rotten.
Shorter, maybe not, but J.K. Simmons is pretty tall.
Isn't he? No, he's short.
I wouldn't say that he's short, but he probably is shorter than the real Rotten.
I think he's my height.
Doesn't look it.
Like in Whiplash, he seems like he's pretty short, or at least compared to Andrew Neiman.
I'm just looking at J.K. Simmons.
I think that's part of what makes him.
He's 5'10".
Okay, so he's taller than me. Well, that's not saying much.
Yeah.
How tall's Miles Teller?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm looking up to Stefan Karl.
Oh, Stefan Karl's tall, surely, or is that just because he's in
6'2"?
Super huge platforms
he's
in the show.
He's 6'2".
Yeah.
Stefan Karl. And what do you want?
Miles Teller.
6 foot.
There you go. Maybe it is just a comparison, because I thought that in Whiplash, that J.K. Simmons was like the idea that short men have got a temper, and he comes in, there's all these budding musicians, and he's this midget that screams at people.
How old do you think the original Stephanie is, like, now?
25?
About 26, you're close enough.
Oh, the sun baby from Teletubbies?
Yes.
She's like fucking my age, man. She's older. I think she's older than me.
Probably.
She's
Teletubbies is from like the 70s.
What?
I'm joking. Teletubbies is like from the early 2000s. late 90s, early 2000s.
Mid-90s, I think. Yeah, it started like a year or two before I was born.
It looks like something that someone from the 70s thought up in a drug trip.
Oh, yeah, it's a fever dream. It's I don't know why they give that to children.
Because children will eat up anything. Have you seen The Boss Baby?
They got an
Oscar-nominated The Boss Baby.
Yeah. Well, you can't just give it to Loving Vincent.
Yes, you can. That can easily win. It's going to win.
Oh, yeah, it's going to win, but you can't just go, look, the other ones were shit, yeah, when we're not going to bother.
Did you know that there is actually another good animated movie?
Did you see
the Lego Batman movie. That was pretty good.
Do you think Batman gets, like a guilt about the fact that he's given irreversible brain damage to, like, 1,000 people? He prides himself on not killing people.
That's one of the reasons why I like Ben Affleck's Batman so much, is that he does not give a shit about criminals. He doesn't have a no-kill rule.
Well, then why doesn't he use guns?
Because
is that too easy?
Yeah, because guns are too easy.
I need to challenge myself.
Yeah.
You know why he uses a knife?
He doesn't go out of his way to kill people.
He should. He'd be safer. He'd be safer that way.
Yeah.
But if he walks in every motherfucker in the building.
He probably had a no-kill rule when he began 20 years ago.
He was soft.
Anyway, let's not go off on about Batman and Superman
that's
too much.
That's soft. So, Nick, do you know any spit facts?
There is no such thing as suck. I'm not even joking.
No such thing as a loud suck.
I've been in the same room as Adam Savage and Michael Vincent.
That's not his name.
Michael Vincent. No, as
Michael Vincenzo.
I've been in the same room as Adam Savage and Michael Stevens as they explained science on stage in a show called Brain Candy.
Bold
live
suck.
Live in Melbourne. And there's a moment in the show when Michael went on a little speech about how there is no such thing as suck. There is no such thing as suck. Anyway, Brain Candy was really fun. I highly recommend that if it comes to your hometown somewhere, you go see it.
Arkansas?
Even though I'm pretty sure they're probably never going to come to Melbourne ever again. It was a one-night only thing. So.
Chattanooga Choo-Choo?
Are you having a stroke?
A little bit.
Ah!
What is the premise, apart from just being two smart men who people like, what is the premise of Brain Candy? How do they sell Brain Candy?
They don't really need to sell Brain Candy. Brain Candy's audience is pretty much made up entirely of people who...
What's your USP? Let me action that. We're going to get some FaceTime. We're going to put some man hours,
like
some elbow grease. Action that.
Like, they didn't really need to put ads on TV or anything because all the people, like, pretty much most of the people in the audience, I'd say, like, 90 to 95% of the audience were people who already know who... either Adam Savage or Michael Stevens or both of them are. Like, they're either fans of one, the other, or both, you know?
Certain people came.
And then the other 5% are people who are just kind of like...
Who happened upon it.
Well, they see this fun, family-friendly science show and they want to go see it with their family, you know? The people next to us were clearly people who had maybe seen an episode or two of Mythbusters and have no idea what the source is. And it was just like a fun family outing because they were loud.
Wow, what... What happened to Jamie? He really slimmed down.
This woman next to me forgot to turn her flash off when she took a photo of this really cool ring of smoke.
Was there someone that immediately tackled her to the floor?
No one gave a shit if she took photos. I took a few photos of my own.
Normally they say don't use flash photography.
Yes, and I think that was a point in which I think they didn't care because everyone was looking at this thing and people were taking photos of it.
And there's just
and
some
this woman
bitch flashing.
She forgot to turn her flash off. It looked like she forgot to turn it off. Yeah, she didn't.
Oh,
like,
okay.
It was one of those things where we're in a darkened room and the phone was like, "Hey, you're in a darkened room. You want me to use the flash?"
Yes.
No. It was a very good friend. They seemed to have a very good partnership on stage on Brain Candy.
Well, that's good. Chemistry is a powerful thing.
Chemistry is a very powerful thing.
Chemistry can blow your house up.
Chemistry is a very good thing to take into account when you're making like some kind of show, like where the two main characters for most of the show, and like including a podcast, you need to make sure that you and your partner have good chemistry.
You gotta get along. You gotta bounce off. You gotta be bouncy.
Which is like you and I, and I think that's a good point for us to end the podcast. That seems to be it for today's episode of These are my joints.
Because there's help for that.
Get it? Because I'm old. I'm an uncle.
You don't have to be old to be an uncle.
True.
For example, you could be from Frankston.
Well, that's true. You don't have to be old to be an uncle. We're
my grandma's 35.
We're both young, and we're uncles to 50 people.
We're spry.
We're uncles to, like,
we punch men.
The small number of people who listen to this. It'll be really awkward if, like, in like 3 episodes we have a really big audience and they go and listen to like the 3rd episode and they say, yeah, oh, we have a really small audience.
I wanted to be part of the 50. Yeah. We'll build a top 50, like we'll build a team 50.
We'll rank our audience from best to worst. Worst being the guy who compared me to the house. We're doing so much tangent, let's actually go into an outro. So you can follow us on Twitter at Tempuncles. Please send us funny questions or even some other kind of like
message. Please, we're desperate.
At tempuncles@gmail.com.
Tempuncles.
You can also listen to this on iTunes. If you're already listening to this on iTunes, you can go look at this on YouTube. And if you're not subscribed, please subscribe for more funny videos and funny podcasts. Yeah, we've been your temporary uncles for the past 50-ish minutes. And, yeah. See ya.
See ya.